Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are going to get a chance to talk to Coach Raheem Morris coming up. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. And we're going to talk to our man Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? Who was big in that final drive for the Falcons as they were able to beat the Eagles on Sunday. Before we get into some college football, and again, Darnell will stop by this hour. We'll talk about the Dogs as well. We got to give a big shout out because there will no longer be Woj bombs. And Adrian Wojnarowski is retiring from his role at ESPN. He's stepping away from the news business. And I think this may be a shock to a lot of people who don't know Woj, but he loves college basketball. And he's going back to his alma mater, St. Bonaventure, Mike, to be the general manager of that school and, you know, their basketball program. I think this is something we're going to see a lot more of. I'm not talking about Woj stepping away. I'm talking about this GM stuff.
I guess, I mean, he has got a passion for it. I don't want to be mean-spirited. I was telling Chris years ago, I had a good friend of mine went to college at St. Bonaventure.
Yeah.
You ever been there?
Yes, I have. Called one game there.
Would you ever go back?
No, it was nothing. I don't want to disrespect. It was nothing special.
Well, I'll say it. It's the most godforsaken part of New York State.
It was nothing special.
I was literally looking at my buddy Jimmy. I'm like, dude, where's the action? Oh, we have to drive to Erie. Got to drive an hour and 10 minutes to Erie. Think about that long and hard.
Yeah.
It's right above the New York-Pennsylvania state line. Now, beautiful country in the Adirondacks, but.
It is.
Yeah, there ain't nothing going on up there, but he loves St. Bonaventure, so good for Woj, I guess. But so now I guess it all. So it's now it's a Shams exclusive.
Well, he is, you know, the other guy in this business that is on that level. But Woj, I will say this, and he said to the guys that he got tired of looking at his phone, Mike. And I think we kind of take it for granted. That's all he does. He's on his phone 24/7. Yeah.
Working his contacts. And again, he's expected when anything breaks, he's got to be the first guy on it. That's kind of the job for all those guys, like Schefter, et cetera.
And, Schefter has a crew now. I mean, he used to be the guy that did it all. But I just, you know, it's one of those things where I'm with you, man. I get the burnout thing. I do. I understand how that could easily play in a role like that. But we wish him nothing but the best. He still knows everybody in the league. And, you know, Mike, if this doesn't work out for whatever reason, who knows? He may take this experience and become a general manager somewhere else. Who knows what happens?
So what exactly does a general manager of a college basketball team do?
They're in charge of all the NIL, all the things that any kind of general manager of any particular team would be in charge of. This takes a lot of responsibility off the coach.
And, yes, sir.
And when you talk about all that's involved now in college basketball, or for that matter, in college football, Alabama has this same position right now. Kalen DeBoer. There's a general manager at Alabama.
I get that. I'm just saying, St. Bonaventure.
Oh,
I mean,
I'm with you.
God
hear
bless
you.
I mean,
I hear you. But so more schools are going to this, but Woj is out of the biz, guys, so you won't be seeing any more Woj bombs anytime soon.
Chris, our producer Turtle, saying that Chris Haynes is the new NBA guy to look out for. He was with TNT.
Chris is great.
And perhaps he's a free agent, so he, obviously with TNT kind of in flux with the NBA after next year, that he would be the guy that ESPN snatches up.
Shams is a free agent as well. His contract is up. So, listen, I don't know what they're going to do as far as ESPN. Listen, they fired everybody with
maybe
the crew.
This is an opportunity for me, Carl. Mike Bell, NBA Insider.
I'm with you.
It's a Bell bomb.
I like it.
I'm going to start doing it. Start making stuff up.
Go for it. I think you'll get a big response from that.
By the way, we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week. There's so many things going on the last 2 weeks with football, but I thought it was very cool when we talk about the Hawks and leadership, and sometimes we get in that concept and guys don't even know what the hell we're talking about. But, you know, helping out, being a dude to, you know, guys can look up to in a locker room and taking on some responsibility. sometimes it's little things. I like the idea that Trey, after saying that Reese Hachette was just another guy in a draft of journeyman, to reaching out to him, taking him out to Oklahoma last week for the college football game, spending some time with the young dude, which I think that's okay. That's a good job by Trey.
No, I agree with you. And you know, the way you build chemistry and trust is you hang out. You got to know somebody a little bit.
Probably leads to something, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not the only thing. You still got to be able to play. Right. But I think you build something, man. And have we talked about Trey doing that in the past? Or were we familiar with him
if
doing
it happened,
like
we didn't know about it. I mean, weren't aware. I mean, but this is cool. And we'll see what this team's going to look like before you know it. Hawks, I think it's, what, 2 weeks? They'll have their media day down in Emory. And they know preseason begins.
Yeah, maybe they'll surprise people, man. They're young. We know that. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Flowery Branch, guys. Coming up again, our guest, Darnell Mooney. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs. So Tate Ratledge has the tightrope surgery, Mike, which is the same thing that Brock Bowers went through.
Yeah, and it depends on I guess, the size of how tight your rope was and how quickly you're going to get back out there. But I think Georgia fans, and I saw the article in Dog Nation saying that it does take anywhere from a month. Maybe sometimes it's quicker for some other guys with your healing process. But either way, that's a dude that you're missing some continuity on the offensive line with the biggest game of the year coming up.
Yeah, and that's the question mark, right? I mean, they got Michael Tolliver who stepped in. He's been fine. I mean, coach is like, look, he can do the job, but it is a question mark going up against Alabama and even moving forward, depending on when Ratledge gets back. I think, Mike, also for the Dogs, you said this as we started the show today. We were talking about, you know, just how do you correct those mistakes after the Kentucky game?
Right.
You got to get off to a faster start, right? And against Alabama, you would hope that the offense would get going. Now, the thing that I thought was most interesting today is Kirby was like, look, Carson's fine. He's not making any excuses about this other shoulder. Or he's like, Carson practiced the last 2 days. He's fine. So I just want to say, hey, let's put that to bed. I don't want to give him the opportunity to be like, yeah, it was the shoulder or something else. If Kirby Smart is saying his quarterback's okay, his quarterback's okay.
It's funny. We were talking about this yesterday, and a guy hit me up on Twitter, and I was joking with him. He's like, you're right, Mike. They were sandbagging. They're saving the good stuff for Texas and Bama. And I was being a wise ass. Maybe I need to start my bell bombs. Apparently Georgia was sandbagging against. No, I think you're not. In a game like that where it's nip-tuck, I don't think you're going to leave much off out of the playbook. But in all seriousness, though, the worker bees, the guys in the trenches that you're going to have to now rotate. You mentioned Micah Morris. They rotate their tackles and their guards, so you might see some guys. I just don't like them having to do this alphabet soup and switch left LT, now you're RG, in the week of Bama, or 2 weeks of Bama coming up.
How do you improve? That's the question.
You got to get the playmakers involved. You got to get the team has got to get the big strike and the explosive play going early.
That's exactly right. There is where I think that if they're going to go to Alabama and beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa, that is what they have to improve on. Listen, Kirby's coaching like crazy this week. You know it because you can go in, Mike.
Right.
You can run him a little bit more if you want to. You can do a few more things because you do not have a game Saturday. But there's no doubt in our minds that Kirby's going hard to make sure that this, whatever happens Saturday, does not happen next week in Tuscaloosa as they get ready for Bama.
So everybody basically gets some reps. There's a big article in Dog Nation about it where freshmen like Daniel Calhoun, Malachi Tolliver get some work at center.
Tolliver is who I was talking about.
And that's cool. That's just a bit of a concern. I know they got a lot of depth, and they certainly have some experience there. But yeah, it gives you a little bit of concern when you see the way that certainly the USF front seven, they that's a bad matchup for Bama. Then they just dropped the hammer on him in that fourth quarter, and then what they did in Wisconsin was impressive, regardless of Van Dyke being knocked out or not.
Totally agree. By the way, there are four SEC teams that make up the top four spots according to ESPN. It's Texas, it's UGA, it's Bama, it's Tennessee, and now everybody's saying, okay, as the season moves along, because Tennessee's really good. I told you guys that's a sleeper team, and now people are like, whoa, they are pretty good. Could we see an all SEC college football playoff at the top, meaning the top four teams? Now listen, they all might have to maneuver differently to get there, but we've talked about this. If Texas is continuing to be as good as they are and they play Georgia, let's just say, in the SEC championship game, then there's a chance that they could meet again in the college football playoff championship game. Mike, Tennessee, I think, is a playoff team from what I've seen.
Well, I mean, it's all about how does Nico, say it with me, Ia Maleva, going to get his work done against Oklahoma.
Right.
One thing about Josh Heupel, there was a great article in ESPN today about how, you know, big game Bob Stoops basically cut him loose, fired him as the OC, and he never got over it. And some say kind of scapegoated him for it at the end of his run there, and that Heupel you know, his connections going back to as a starting quarterback.
Oklahoma.
He was starting quarterback when they beat Mark Richt and Florida State, as Mark Richt was ready to take the job to go to Georgia. Chris Winkie's last game at college. So that's Josh Heupel. Oh, yeah. Big time.
He was great, man. He was a really good quarterback.
But it's going to be interesting. This is a great test for Tennessee. But I think Tennessee's defense, certainly against NC State, and the way they don't look like they're going to win despite their defense. Maybe their defense is going to help them win games. That's huge.
All right, one other thing that I'm going to let you hear, Dion. We were talking about this before the top of the hour. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Follow Mike, by the way, Mike Bell, ATL. Get your bail bombs and put them up. See Dukes, that is me. Put them up, and also Dukes and Bell 92.9. Real quick, Urban Meyer says if the Florida job opens up, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I don't think you can go home again there. Everyone's waiting to see when Billy Napier's going to get got. He's thinking about rotating two quarterbacks this week. Good God, that didn't work for Spurrier. Let me throw a name at you real quick.
Okay.
He wants to get back in the game. They need a splash.
Yeah.
I don't know. He had a flirtation with Tennessee like 10 years ago. I got John Gruden. He's right down the road.
At Florida?
Why don't you call John Gruden if you're the Gators?
That's interesting.
Just a thought.
That's interesting. It is. Does he want to deal with college
That's
football?
That's the thing. But now with the NIL, if you have that all things set up with, you know, Florida, part of the reason they're so behind the eight ball is their collective was a collective train wreck.
Yeah, it was.
You know, and then too many chefs. Now,
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I guess they've streamlined it, but if Gruden, that's the thing. But Gruden going in there, he could create his own little fiefdom in the SEC. Look, it's still Florida. I know they're the laughing stock now, but they're still the freaking Gators.
No, you can turn that thing
around. They won national championships. They could get there.
You could turn that around real quickly. But Urban Meyer, that's courtesy of the Triple Option Podcast, said he's not willing to go back to Florida. All right, let's hear Deion Sanders. And Mike and I were talking about this. And again, there's petty, and then there's, okay, why are you even going there? Deion, the media is attacking his players because his players are making money.
When I say I genuinely love these kids, I genuinely really do. It's not about what they can do for me on the football field. It's about what I can help them with in life. Landscape has changed in football. Once upon a time, you guys never attacked college players. Now they're making more money than y'all. And some of y'all are envious and jealous about that. So you're on the tech. It was hands off a college player because he's an amateur. You remember? Remember that, guys? Now it's hands on. Go at them any kind of way you want. They're making more money than me, and I'm mad about it. When you attack them, these guys are sensitive. They've never been attacked. They hadn't gone through what a grown man, what I've been going through with y'all for years. They haven't done that. So it is what it is. I know you're going to do your job and what you must do, but your job does not say attack. The personal stuff, leave it to be personal. Because if we start flipping the script on y'all, you wouldn't like it. I can ease it. Thank you, Lord, for stopping me there. Whoo, that was almost a good one. That would have went viral.
Yeah, I mean, again, these are writers. They got a job to do, Deion. And with all due respect, look, I'm a big Deion fan, but he's making it harder, as we said, every day. Now these guys are semi-pros. Now these guys are walking around like their stuff doesn't stink. You got players on their team that are basically treating the other guys like they're a bunch of bums. So it's a different set of rules, Deion. To whom much is given, much is expected. When you start paying guys high six figures to play college, there's a level of expectation. So I'm sorry, yes, when you were 18, you used to be a student athlete. Yeah. Now you are a semi-pro. The rules have changed. And everything Deion just said is complete nonsense.
Yeah, I'm not for personal attack. But I'm all for criticizing.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, it wasn't
these young men and their performances.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Which is what I will do. If Carson Beck stinks like he did at Kentucky against Alabama, I'm going to say it.
Right.
I have no qualms.
Now, if Shador Sanders walks off the field, what are you supposed to say? You're not supposed to say Shador Sanders walked off the field. I mean, didn't talk to his backup quarterback, just went to the locker room.
Yeah.
Is that a personal attack? I mean, Deion is making everything about him, and it's personal in his world. It's just he created this monster. I wanted him to succeed in Colorado. I see there's no way this is going to fly once he loses his best corner and his quarterback.
You got to win, ultimately, at every job. But
when Hunter and his son leave, there's nothing there.
Well, listen, and maybe he does leave. At the end of the day, though, he got the opportunity. He got paid, right? His kids got paid.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's a win for him.
You know, I was defending him last year because there were all the critics with their agendas when he got the job. And I said, look, you know where it's at. Some of this is race. Some of this is some other stuff. But now he's making it easy for these guys with the stuff he's throwing out there.
I just think that, and this is where I stand. I'm over, and we got to take a break because Darnell Mooney's on the way. But I'm over the idea of telling you that I can't tell you a student athlete, which is what we used to call him, doesn't stink anymore. And when we talk about their performance on the field, I can be a little bit more critical now because of your point. They're getting paid. All right, guys, we're coming back. We're live at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. Wish we could tell you guys all the things that happen up here at Flowery Branch. But the bottom line is, you know, you think guys just go and get their pads on and they go to practice, and there's so much more that goes on up here at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk to Darnell Mooney here in just a brief second. As he's getting ready, they're practicing a little bit later today, but he had treatment and meetings and all kind of stuff, so we kept pushing it, but we are going to get a chance to chat with him at least for a few minutes, Mike, so that is on the way. Stay tuned for that, and Coach Ra is going to join us after practice, I believe. Is that right? Today in the 6 o'clock hour.
That's
so
right.
Sometime around 6:15 is when we expect to talk to Coach Raheem Morris as they turn the page, guys, and start getting ready for those Chiefs. And boy, I tell you what, you said the over. You got me thinking about this. I mean, I don't want to talk about it when Rock comes in here.
Well,
I'm thinking about it.
Ask him if he likes 26 and a half.
He'll never answer that.
I mean, the Chiefs are averaging 26. We're under average because of the Steelers' performance, which we're going to forget that game ever happened. And then you look at the Eagles, and if you can see, you know, Kirk Cousins, you know, building off this and doing more of these things from the beginning of the game and the way that we ran the football, man. Yeah, I mean, the recipe is there. Strong defense. I mean, if we play like we did against the Eagles, I think that's a stronger defense that's going to get better. Is it more continuity than we had in 16?
Yeah.
It was dominated by rookies.
Well, Judon getting that sack, man, too.
Huge.
I mean, you know, that was something else that we did
Bates
talk about
Simmons,
on Monday.
Man. Yeah, man.
But
you can't even get Ruka Ro on the field right now because there's no room for him.
Yeah, he was inactive for the Philly game. But I just like what we're doing defensively. Not only just scheme, but I like the way guys are playing. All right, so Darnell's on the way. We were talking about that soundbite from Deion Sanders, and guy hit me up. And, you know, Mike, there's petty, right?
Right.
And then there's, to your point, you know, you're trying to make sure that everybody knows that it's about certain things that it's really not about. And I think that, again, we could talk about this all day. And if it was another day and we weren't here, we probably would, because I think this is where college football is. I think all these coaches are dealing with this and their players. But Deion wants us to believe that these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, you know, that they're in their feels when somebody writes something bad about them. And I'm like, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
Most of these guys have been having this kind of coverage their entire life.
Right. Most of these kids have had their asses kissed since they showed some ability to play football. It is what it is. I mean, you know, it goes both ways, you know. And look, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I just felt last year it was funny. It had nothing to do with Deion. Like, when you remember, it was Brent Venables. Well, I kept all my guys at Oklahoma. That's not how I operate. Well, nobody friggin' asked you.
Yeah.
You know, everybody had their, like Deion was going to ruin college football because he was going to create this, like, super transfer portal that everybody was going to jump on. Well, look, he may crash and burn, and it may go nowhere. And I think Deion leaves Colorado at the end of the season if it doesn't go well. But
where's he going?
go count his money because he ain't going to be doing nothing else.
Okay, I was about to say, where's he going?
No, I mean, it's just NFL Network, ESPN.
Well, that's true, yes.
But I mean, like, I thought
you meant like the coaching job.
I had high hopes for Coach Prime, and I think it's cool that Travis Hunter followed him from Jackson State. But I mean, at the end of the day,
Louis,
you got to make this happen. Yeah, that was something that Louis Vuitton they brought.
Something that Louis.
But you've got to. But you got to build. Look, if you want to sit there and go, yeah, I got guys. I'm bringing luggage. And my baggage is Louis, and you guys suck. You got to back it up. You know, you can't go out there and stink. You know, I was excited as anybody with that win over TCU last year, which I thought was as improbable as they come. But, you know, now you just, you're looking at him and you say, like, you know, getting petty with a Colorado State coach. Just be the big man. Take the high road.
Take the high road.
Come on, man.
Yeah, you got a gold jacket,
don't,
and as you don't say, make you didn't
it,
pay for it.
Don't make it easy for these guys that you think have an agenda against you.
Yeah, by the way, while we're talking about the Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco underwent successful surgery today. He will not be available for Sunday's game, guys. His timeline to return is at least 6 to 8 weeks. That is why they signed Kareem Hunt. And I think they signed him to the practice squad.
He knows their offense.
Yes, but I'm not sure how soon he'll actually play. It probably won't be this week, but probably within a week or so.
Hey, man, here's the star of the game, baby.
All right.
What's up, Darnell?
We've been waiting on Darnell Mooney. What's going on, Darnell? And he's about to sit down with us here for a quick second. Practice is going to start here, so we got to get him in and get him out.
It's a drive-by with Darnell.
Yeah, man. And first of all, congratulations on the dub.
Thank you, thank you.
Let's dive right in, man. That last drive, were you running specific routes? Were you just – was it space you were getting open? You and Kirk were obviously on the same page.
Yeah, it was – Kirk was running the show. He was giving us the routes. And, yeah, they were specific. And then there were certain ones that I can – you can just have a little freedom with the route, too, so –
some guys say when you get in that two-minute situation, it kind of goes back to what the plays that you know, plays you're familiar with. Is that how it works? Almost sometimes it can be easier.
Yeah,
to get in a rhythm.
Yeah, no, no thinking, just going out there and running. So it was pretty easy. Some things that we did in training camp a lot. We don't really practice it now, but there's a lot that we focused on in training camp.
Did you know what you wanted to do when you got in the end zone, bro?
Nah. Literally, when on my way there, I was like, you know what, just flip.
I'm doing it. I don't care.
If I landed on a small on my back, I'd be icing up for a month, man.
It's Darnell Mooney. By the way, Kirk today, he said that was an all-out blitz. That was a zero blitz.
Yep.
Did you know that?
I did. Yep.
And did you know he was coming to you?
I mean, based on the play, I am like
the guy.
Yeah. And then it's either me or and then Ray Ray. So the other side concept is good for like zone, but it was either me or Ray Ray, and I was the first read.
On the play where Kirk airs it, I couldn't believe he'd get the ball down the field. Did you think he wasn't going to get the ball down the field where you cut it off the route? No, I think it was a 2 minute. Or was it earlier?
It was early in regulation. Earlier in the game, you had like it was almost a corner deal, and it looked like you guys.
And
you kind of pulled up, but I don't know if it was double coverage or not.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't see on TV.
I just thought I was like, there's no way Kirk could get the ball down there.
Nah, there was a lot going on that play. Like my defender, he played my route pretty good, and usually on that play, like I'm kind of trying to clear everything out, get double teamed, and have Drake wide open for the little dagger. We ran it a couple times throughout that game, and Drake caught the ball. And kind of the same thing happened. He, the defender, end up, you know, playing my route pretty good, and then he ended up running into Drake's defender. So then it looks like it's so open,
right?
And then, like, I'm slowing down, and then so.
So that's not really accurate.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just looks like a lot of things going on. So
we'll get it right. Okay. Yeah. Man.
Fair enough. Darnell Mooney. Let's talk about the Chiefs, man. What's up, Darnell? Let's talk about the Chiefs.
Let me delete that Darnell quit on that route real quick. Hold on 1 second. Let me get on Twitter and fix that.
What do you think? What do you see? I don't even know. I'm sure you guys turned the page fairly quickly, man. But tell me what you think about what we got to see on Sunday.
Obviously dominant from 95, and I'm a good friends with number 98 as well. He's a good, strong guy.
Yeah.
As far as the defenders, they're pressing man-to-man right in front of your face. They don't care. They understand their defensive scheme, and, you know, they've been winning Super Bowls with it, so why not? I mean, why change it? So,
but we like one-on-one, though, right?
Oh yeah, we do. We love that.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, this is something that we've been talking about. Like, hey, if you want to try that, that's cool, because that gives me a chance to run right past you.
Now, Darnell, you're new here, not first time year with the Falcons. You've been in the NFL for a number of years. I don't know if you're aware of the history of this team. We don't win games like that on Monday night. That's something that fans are not used to seeing. It's been 8 years since we had a touchdown come from behind. How electric was that? I mean, if we saw the video of the locker room, the flight home, anybody get any sleep?
I mean, with that adrenaline, it takes a while to, you know, to dial down and get that energy up out of you. But Yeah, I mean, it's always good to, you know, have a good flow of offense and have that confidence of like, hey, yeah, the defense gave us the ball back at the end, and yeah, we're gonna go down here and score. So
we saw this in camp, and I know you got to run to practice because Ryan gonna be cussing me out.
play Dukes and Bell.
Yeah,
we're not paying the fine.
He'll come in here at 6 and be like, yo, my guys were late. We saw you talk a lot in camp to Kirk. You guys had this thing going on, and I was talking about it like, you know, not I don't know anything. I'm just seeing you
Looks
guys
like
communicate.
Chemistry, yeah.
Has that carried over? Because it feels like it has into the season. And then what are those conversations? Is it just him saying, I missed you? Is it you going, come on, bro, I'm open? What's the deal?
I mean, there's a mixture of all. I mean, he can get on my tail, I can get on him, and we got that respect for each other. But it's more so always cool and collect, you know, having an honest, you know, conversation and just how we can get better with, you know, the next time it comes up. So it's a lot of conversation, but it's healthy conversation. So it's nothing, you know, toxic at all.
Monday night's big. Sunday night's even bigger.
Yep.
I mean, you guys hyped for this? I mean, it's going to be an electric atmosphere with
for
the Chiefs.
For sure. I mean, it was good to get that dub, you know, and then being able to come home off that and being able to, you know, come back home and, you know, play a good night game. And, you know, the stadium should be rocking.
Well, man, we, you know, we had all this stuff planned for you, and then we kept pushing and pushing. Like, yeah, now you got to go. So
we ordered you a cookie puss, and now it's, you know,
I mean, it's yeah, late. No, I mean, we had all this stuff planned.
Right,
but no, man, hey, do your thing. We need you. We need you healthy and ready to go for Sunday night. And keep pushing, man. Great balls in that last drive. You guys were amazing. And we wish you nothing but the best on Sunday.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the big win. That was huge for us, man.
Thank you.
What's
and
up, Darnell?
That's our
there
man.
He is. Darnell Mooney.
Off to practice.
All right, man. And as we said, Coach Wild is going to join us coming up here in the 6 o'clock hour. So we'll get a chance to chop it up with him. 404-9, you guys can hit us up. You know, listen, Mike, if he turns into that additional weapon, okay, I said the stars got to be stars. Drake's going to be Drake. Bijan's going to be Bijan. We're still wanting Pitts and more from Pitts, which I hope comes
and
along.
Hopefully it's going to come.
It comes.
Right. Now, Kelsey's off to a brutal start, but in case we want to see Pitts and maybe more chemistry with Pitts, and also Kirk Cousins, how he goes through his progressions and how Pitts – and then does Zach get him more plays that are designed for Pitts, Carl?
Yes. But if this guy comes along –
Right.
Now you've added something, Mike. And
our
again,
version of the cheetah. Well, you know what I mean? He's already had a huge impact in this. Now, week one, nobody had an impact, if we're honest, in
correct.
The passing game.
Correct.
Save for Pitts with the touchdown.
But I just and you know, I've been saying it, and I know some of you guys are like, no, man, he's not going to do anything. And Chris knows. I've been saying all camp, like, this guy's going to be a difference maker. He helped us win this game on Sunday night. Hopefully, you know, again, and it wasn't that he had 10 balls. It was the balls late in that game that you absolutely needed to catch. Like, if he misses one of those balls, Mike, maybe we don't go down and score. And so those were big moments for Darnell Mooney. All right, we got plenty more to dive into. I know we got some guy talk on the way. If you're just joining us, we're up here live at Flowery Branch again, as we will be each and every week, bringing you the latest on our Falcons this Sunday night game. When you said that about Sunday night, he just smiled. I'm just telling you guys, like, when you said Sunday night's big, he was like, yeah, it is. They know. They know what this means, and I think that's why Monday night was such a big deal for them in that locker room. It was big for us as fans, but it was bigger for them because, I mean, again, and now you turn right back around, Mike. If we show out on Sunday night against the Chiefs, what are they going to be saying about us around the country?
Well, that's just it. Now you're a brand. I mean, you've already got some folks on some of the networks saying, we're a dark horse. I mean, we know we feel good about the playoffs here. I just think, as we said, in hindsight, week one, like a lot of teams, not everybody, there's about a quarter of the NFL looked flat in week one and didn't look like they were ready. And we had a difficult balancing act because of the nature of our star quarterback's injury, you know, and what he was dealing with, which, you know, and Coach Ross stood by his guns, said he was going to try to mitigate injury. The same went for Bijan, everybody else. But there's different ways of approaching it. Some teams do feel you want to get your guys involved. Zach, did Zach Robinson need a full series or a full half with the starters to
maybe
get into a rhythm?
That's a good point.
Or was it more about, they danced around the subject. We worked raw, Chris and I, last week. Cousins said it to, you know, he told it to Troy Aikman. It wasn't 100%. Was that part of that game plan was to try to keep Cousins out of harm's way? Now they said, look, we're going to have to bite the bullet. He's going to have to play with some pain or whatever. Whatever it was, it worked freaking great.
Yeah.
Everything we wanted to see, we didn't see in week one, we saw in week two.
Well, and I also think the bigger thing is this gave the Chiefs a lot more to look at. Like, you watch game one, okay, which they are, and they see him in the pistol, and they're like, okay, what are they trying to do? And all we were doing basically is stretch runs, right? And it was very minimal. You look at what we did in game two against the Eagles, a lot more to look at, Mike. And now you're going, okay, now what if we combine some of that stuff for Sunday night, and now I'm mixing this up. you become a little bit more dangerous as far as not predictable. We were predictable after week one. After week two, we were not.
No, and I think that I think this is what everybody, I think, in the league, certainly all the analysts, because, you know, it wasn't like Carl and I and Randy and Andy and everybody else in Squid. We're the only guys talking about this. Everybody around the country was talking about what the hell were the Falcons doing against the Pistons. Looked nothing like what we expected. This was more of what we thought. Now, again, there's a place for pistol and shotgun. I'm not saying that's not the – but the way it just – to your point, it just got so predictable that T.J. Watt, the steals, the silent count stuff, everybody knew what was happening. It's going to be an unbelievable vibe. Look, I mean, the Chiefs, I don't know, the Chiefs Kingdom, whatever the hell they call it. I never saw anybody wearing Chiefs gear until they started winning some Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as bad as what the Steelers do as a heritage team. Yeah, there'll be some Chiefs fans, but I think this is one where there's going to be such a buzz that Falcon fans, if you've ever been on the fence, you've got to have a ticket for this game Sunday night. And you throw in free hot dogs and free chips? Good God, Joe. Get me in there, coach.
What do we got coming up in Guy Talk, man?
Hey, man. We talked a lot about the P in ESPN stood for Philadelphia, you know, or the E stood for Eagles. A couple guys apologizing for the Philly-centric broadcast.
Oh, really?
On Monday night. We'll get into some of that.
Okay.
And, hey, don't laugh. I just mentioned John Gruden. I just found a story. Guess who wants to get back into coaching? The college game. Hey, Chucky.
Really?
We'll explain. When a play is play, it is Dukes and Bell live from our Ticketmaster studios. Man, if you just missed Darnell Mooney, that'll be online at 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com. We're going to talk to Coach coming up here about 6:15. We may actually cut into some Atlanta United pregame as Inter-Miami is in town. But the practicing as we speak over our shoulder, and we'll talk to Coach Ra about the big win in Philly coming up. Speaking of Philly, obviously for folks who are not fans of the Kelseys or fans of the Eagles. Now, I like the Kelce brothers. I've got nothing against Jason Kelce. But when it came out the entire second half, while we're trying to win a football game, becomes an infomercial for how they keep the offensive line culture in Philadelphia going. It's like, give me a break. So he heard it, and he was on the podcast with his bra, and he said, I don't have the audio for you, but Jason says, Atlanta had to deal with me for 4 hours before things got rough for the Eagles. And I said, listen, I want to apologize to Falcon fans watching because I understand that you just had to, you just had to watch just a Philadelphia celebration, a parade of former players coming back home.
It's a great point. It tells you that he's aware, right? Some guys are not aware of the surroundings or even what people are saying or talking about, Mike. This is what makes them great. Let's be honest. You said it. I have nothing against the Kelce brothers. I actually like both of them. I think they both have bright futures. Obviously, that's starting for Jason. But I appreciate that because the Scott Van Pelt thing, and I love Van Pelt, man, but like we'll be coming up, and it looks like the Eagles, the home team, will be winning. It's like, whoa, slow your roll. You know,
it's kind of like we both like SVP, but it's like, come on, man, just can we let this play out? But again, like a lot of us felt as they were going in, and it looked like it was a fait accompli. But then, of course, Saquon drops that pass, and hey, we did the rest, man. John Gruden, I was just joking around with Carl, and it's funny because we were just goofing around about like what should Florida do with Billy Napier in our dog report.
He gone.
John Gruden eyeing coaching return. An article at Awful Announcing says he's very interested in coaching at any level, period.
Interesting.
Now, you would argue, as a couple of guys did when I tweeted it out, I'd hire Gruden. You know, he's awful in player development in Tampa Bay. He basically deconstructed everything Rich McKay had built before, you know, they won the Super Bowl. But, again, at college, you hire good assistants. You have assistants who develop the players. You have assistants that certainly, you know, help in recruiting. John would be the closer in recruiting. You have your NIL, and you let John Gruden be the CEO of the team, and you go to work. It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
And you build your brand.
Maybe he just loves it or misses it that much. I mean, he's always been a teacher.
Right. And I don't want to see the Gators succeed. I'm just saying if I was the Gators, I would at least give John Gruden a phone call.
Well, it's worth it. You know, Napier, I feel like now, and it's not that he said anything wrong. Listen, the Gators booed him last week. He addressed all of that. I just feel like this job is over his head.
Right.
And I think when they hired him, Mike, it was the next big thing. Sometimes hiring experience matters. And when you're Florida, it should. But they were in this whole thing about, oh, we got to pay our last two coaches. You know what? We're going to go with the next big thing. And I just feel like now when in seeing Florida and what they've done over the last few years, this job's too big for them. You know, this is why Kirby, and I use this as an example, Kirby would tell you this because I've heard this from people that are close to him. Mike, he could have left Alabama 2 years after being a defensive coordinator for Nick Saban. Wasn't ready. Right. He wasn't ready. When he left And now you see how he's built this. He was ready. Sometimes you take these jobs and it's like, whoa, I don't know. And that's the way I feel about Napier now. That's why I don't feel like he can turn it around.
Right. I think Napier, you know, the two losing seasons, missing on the big quarterback that Ole Miss stole.
Yep.
You know, whatever it seems to be with their collective, not everyone being on the same page, kind of sounded like Auburn, where everyone gets like a circular fire squad and everybody goes at each other. So I don't know where this goes, but it just seems like my point is, if you are you're still Florida, it's still a prestigious job. You just got to find a way to, you know, get the right guy in there. Hey, man, scientists, Carl, say beers are just too big. Whether you go to our favorite places, like we'll be at Twin Peaks, by the way, in Buckhead tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
Kennesaw location on Friday. We haven't been up there in a minute.
It's been a while.
So between our vacations and everything else in the summer, but we're looking forward to seeing you guys. Twin Peaks, Buckhead Thursday, Kennesaw Friday. But your beer glass might soon be coming smaller if you live in the UK, where perhaps, you know, the health and whatever they call it over there. The group of scientists in the UK interested in finding innovative ways to encourage the public to cut back on excessive drinking. Pints have gotten bigger. To collector pints and giant glasses. We've all seen the yard of beer.
Yeah.
Whether you're in New Orleans or, you know, we're doing the show at Hooters, those guys get that giant, you know, like whatever that is, like that 2-liter funnel, right, of whatever they got going on. Researchers noting that beer sales have fallen 9.7% in some stadiums where they did convince them to try selling smaller beers. So the bigger beer gets a bigger interest from the fans.
Well, yeah, because you feel like you're getting more for your buck.
Correct. That's simple marketing, guys. Only like a total a weenie nerd would come up with this idea.
Nerd!
Innovative ways to encourage the public to cut back on drinking. At soccer matches?
No way.
On Saturdays in pubs?
No way.
Good luck with that.
No way.
Go outside, nerd.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you guys are out of your minds. Meanwhile, here in the States, there are more than a lot of us, not just health experts, are saying that, yes, America, this goes for fast food. Everything we order now, the sizing, the portion sizes are bigger.
It is.
You know, the fast food nation, all that. But, yeah, good luck with that. I don't think you're going to see anybody giving you smaller offerings of beer anytime soon. Value for the price, by the way, $5 beers. You know that you're going to get that, of course, this weekend. You always get that with Arthur Blank and Mercedes-Benz. We mentioned that earlier.
Deal, by the way.
Free food, man. Now, again, it's supposed to be limit 2 per customer, fatty, so don't abuse the privilege. Arthur Blank inducted into the Falcons Ring of Honor.
Two
per. So, in other words, you get 2 hot dogs, 2 chips. Now, the drink is basically, that's a bottomless refill.
Okay.
So you keep refilling the cup.
All right.
And the cup's got Arthur's face on it. Our buddy Greg Beadle says we are, Andy Lansing, I should say. He's the CEO of Levy, who does the food.
Yeah.
Saying they're so thrilled to congratulate and celebrate Arthur on his induction to the Ring of Honor, an inspiring leader and all that, saying good things about him. Greg Beadle says Arthur's leadership in prioritizing the fan experience is a hallmark. You can't argue with that.
No, you can't.
Anytime we've had our friends come and visit from around the country, they are literally, especially anybody who's from either New York or Miami, cannot believe how inexpensive our concessions are.
I agree, because you know going to a game, more than likely you're about to drop, I don't know, 3 bills?
Right.
Easy. Like, and I'm talking about over a 4-quarter game. You get there early, you're buying drinks, Mike, you're eating, you get there. It's not that way at Mercedes-Benz. So, yeah, man, big shout-out to Arthur Blank. Again, we hope to talk to him before the end of the week here on the show and give him his flowers, as we like to say.
Hey, man, Delta had a website crash as far as trying to hire new flight attendants. So apparently business is booming and so many people want to get involved working for Delta that there's a rush and a push, and that's great to hear. But one thing for certain, Carl, if you're going to work as a flight attendant at Delta, you've got to wear proper underwear.
I'm sorry?
Delta pushes strict underwear regulations for flight attendants in an eyebrow-raising memo that's made its way.
Are there people not wearing underwear?
Well, I don't know. Are they wearing thongs? I mean, I'm all for that. Wow. If it's a person you want to see in a thong.
I was about to say.
I mean, I want to see, I want to see Mark Schott in a thong. I mean, that's a former Reds owner for the younger listeners out there.
You bet.
Delta Airlines reminding potential flight attendants they need to be wearing underpants. The airline,
is this a thing?
This is something, again, why the AJC can't put these stories in the newspaper? I get more stuff about Atlanta from the New York Post than I get in the Atlanta Journal and Constitution, because I guess this kind of stuff is beneath them.
I didn't know this was a thing.
And if this was in the AJC, I apologize, I missed it. Somebody can send me the link. But it won't be written as cleverly as this one is, because they're having fun because it's a story about people's underpants.
I want to know who's not wearing drawers. That's what I want to know.
The airline released a 2-page memo for, quote, appearance requirements for future hires, outlining strict guidelines for how one should look during the interview process, training, and then eventually throughout their career flying with Delta.
How would you know if I have underwear on or not in an interview?
If you're wearing really tight britches or a skirt,
okay.
The outline, I know because I'm an ass man. The outline of the panties you're going to see.
I guess, Mike.
So they could be granny panties, which would be, I guess, acceptable.
In an interview, you're looking at this?
But again, I guess you shouldn't be looking. According to the memo,
correct.
Potential hires and current flight attendants must wear proper undergarments, but they must not be visible. So you can get some of those sheer spank type things. There's other things they make. Now, for dudes, I don't know, man. I mean,
but I got to be honest with you. There are a lot of ladies out there,
right,
who don't like to wear anything.
And I'm down with that.
And I'm just saying that should be their personal choice.
In the interest of transparency, funny choice of words, and clarity for all prospective candidates, we are encouraging people to dress for success and give a great first impression as they aspire to join the flight attendant ranks, the spokesperson said.
We need to get Delta on.
The document is, somebody leaked the email, got to the Daily Mail. Now, again, this is in the AJC, I'll stand corrected.
Okay, all right.
I get my great salacious information generally from the New York Post. It is what it is. Clothing, quote, proper undergarments must be worn but not be visible. In other words, no underpants. Lines. Clothing must be professional.
A thong doesn't do that, though.
No, a thong doesn't leave anything.
That's all I'm saying.
I like it. Dresses and skirts should be at or below knee length.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, I don't want my Delta flight attendants dressing like Amish people. Shoes should be closed, toe flats, heels or slingbacks. Not, you know, wearing sneakers. Tires required with button collar dress shirts for guys who chair for the male uniform.
All right.
And the following
the guys are easy, I think. Mike.
Here's what I love this. I love the fact you have to put this in any. This is just, I think, a state. That has nothing to do with Delta. This is just where America is in 2024. The following items are not permitted during the interview: profanity, chewing gum, and use of phone earbuds.
I can't hear you.
Why do you want to be with Delta? Wait, hold on. I'm talking to my buddy. No, I'll meet you later. I'm doing this interview. Yeah, so anyway, Delta flight attendants, we all love them. They're the best. And as I've often said, the first time I flew Delta, I was 10 years old. I'll never forget it. The beautiful blonde lady, the perfume smell. Do you want to see the pilot? The southern accent. I was like, my dad's like, how was the flight? I'm like, she was beautiful. You know, so always we fly Delta jets on this show, but look for some new people on your planes. Hopefully Carl wearing the proper underpants.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I really am. I had no idea this was a thing.
Well, I mean, if a lady is, you know, big in the dumper and she's wearing, like, you know, tight pants and the pants are too tight, then you're going to see the line. I guess that's what Delta's trying to avoid.
Yeah, but, I mean, who's looking at that?
By the way, the lady on our flight from Milan to Atlanta.
You need to stop
It was an Atlanta-based flight crew.
You need to stop
Can
right
I just
now.
Say that booty was like a lowercase b?
I have nothing to
and
say
And on that note,
that.
There's your guy talk. We'll see you at Twin Peaks in Buckhead Thursday. Twin Peaks in Kennesaw Friday.
Are they wearing underwear?
Yes, they have to.
Also, I didn't know this was a thing.
We'll be at Signia, guys, on the fourth floor at the it's called the Bird's Nest?
The Nest.
The Nest. Okay. Falcon fans, you want to crash the party, we're going to be having a good old time. We're going to be at Signia, you and I, 1-4, special broadcast on Sunday before Sunday Night Football.
Where was Becky on this flight while you were taking all of this in?
Well, she was watching one of her Murder Mayhem shows. You know, if ever I get murdered, you know, she knows how to kill me. All she watches on that Lifetime stuff.
I do like those murder shows as well.
I got away with it. You know, that's that kind of.
All right.
I told her that time she went to the hardware store. She's like, I need some zip ties, some lye, and a shovel. The guy's like, tough day for Mike, huh?
Yeah, and it might be. Hey, coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. What did Kirk Cousins say today about some of the things we saw on Sunday night, on Monday night, should I say? And as we get ready for Sunday Night Football, we'll talk more about it coming up. We're live at Flyer Branch, Stukes and Bell.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.